Good morning and welcome to Bold River Baptist Church. We're excited that you're joining us this morning. We would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
If you'll go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1, we have one last sermon. We're going to talk about Acts chapter 1 today. And today we're going to talk about something that I consider, it's what I tend to call background information. It's things that happen, but we really don't think about it in the big terms. We don't think about it because the scripture kind of leaves us at this place where there's a point to be made, but we oftentimes have to dig for it a little bit deeper. And so this morning, I want to ask somebody, has anybody ever been disappointed? I mean, we should all be able to raise our hand and say, we've been disappointed. How many of you have ever been disappointed that it hurt? That it just hurt? You know, we all go through life and there's things that happen that we can't explain. And sometimes we can. That's the problem. Sometimes we know why something turned out the way it did. And today we're going to talk about a situation that the Bible tells us about, but then one person we never hear of again. We just see his name one time. And it's at the very end. And so if you will, just stand with me. And we're going to read from Acts chapter 1. And we're jumping right into it today. And we're going to start at verse 20. Acts chapter 1, verse 20 and following reads as follows. For it is written in the book of Psalms, this is Peter talking to the rest of the believers, may his camp become desolate and no one, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who is also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Show us, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and they fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Dear Father, we ask that you just speak to us this morning. And fathers, we deal with something we all come across multiple times in our life. Lord, may we learn from your word this morning. We pray all these things in your holy son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this part of scripture is just a very small tidbit of what's happening right before the day of Pentecost, right before the Holy Spirit comes in. And we have these two men who are both put up for an office. They are both chosen to come before the apostles and for one of them to be chosen to be numbered as an apostle. Now, it's interesting because we have Matthias, and he's the one that the disciples land on. They feel like God has shown them this is who is supposed to be an apostle. And casting lots was a way that God had instructed people to make decisions for him, that he would control the lots. It's a very interesting process. But before the Holy Spirit was available and there was no prophet to be the spokesman for God, they would use this system to see what happens. We would see this whenever Jonah, actually, who we're going to talk about a little bit this morning, was on the ship, and they were trying to figure out what to do with him. And that's part of the process. And so casting lots was a way to decipher God's will. But Matthias gets chosen, and we just kind of read past this guy named Joseph, who is also called Barsabbas, who is also called Justus. Maybe it's because they didn't want to say that name over and over. Hey, Joseph, Barsabbas, Justus. But whatever the reason being, there was this man who made it all the way to the last part of the interview. He made it all the way there to where he stood before the apostles. He stood before the 11 remaining apostles, and he didn't make the cut. How many of us have ever felt that way before in our life in some situation? How many of us have ever made it quite, not quite there, but we've gotten so close, we could taste what was there, but we weren't the ones chosen? Many times in life, we go through those situations, and what we don't realize is that we hold on to the feelings, and we never hear about either of these two men again. But there's a man that walked away that day, and we don't know what his attitude was, but here's what we do know, that many times we walk away bitter. And if we think about this man, he probably had moments for the rest of his life where people would walk up to him and say, "Hey, you're that guy. You're Joseph Barsabbas Justice." And they were like, he was probably like, "Yes, that's me. You almost made it. What was it like?" And he was reminded over and over. How do we handle those moments whenever something lets us down? Whenever we think it should have been us? You see, in today's society, we have a feeling that whenever a promotion's up and we may have worked our hardest or maybe not, but still, if we've been there the longest or maybe it's just a point in the church sometimes that maybe I should be that person, and when we don't get it, what does it bring to bear in us? And this morning, I want to talk about bitterness, because bitterness can bring burden. Bitterness breaks bonds, and bitterness births brokenness. All those things come from the same core feeling, being bitter. As I preach today, I usually do not go back and visit something, but Jonah is the perfect example. And if you've studied Jonah, you understand what I'm talking about. And so if you would like to, Jonah chapter 4 is where we're going to really plug in, because this is where Jonah has done everything God has called him to do. Jonah has been a prophet. He is called from his own hometown to go to a place that is full of people who hated the Jews, hated the Israelite people, and he's told to go there, the town of Nineveh. And he said, "You need to go preach." God told him, "You need to go preach." And so Jonah, we all know the story. He decides he's not going to do what God says. And so he flees and he tries to get away. And he's headed to Tarshish, he gets on a boat, we all know the story. Big storms come up, they try to figure out what to do. Jonah says, "It's my fault." They decide it is his fault, and they throw him overboard, and he's swallowed by a big fish. Now, some people say, "Do you truly believe this story?" Well, it's in the Bible, so yes, absolutely. And so he is thrown overboard, and it says that he spent 3 days. And it's very interesting, because whether Jonah actually died or not is really an interesting thing. Because Jonah says that he cried out from the depths of Sheol, which is the place of the dead. Now, some people say that's because in the stomach of a fish, there's a lot of dead things. I tend to choose more that God had a miraculous sign through Jonah, because Jesus would say, when the people asked him, "Give us a sign that you're the Messiah," and he said, "I have already given you a sign, the sign of Jonah, who lived in the belly of the fish for 3 days, or was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and then came forth," depicting the tomb. So I have no problem if somebody says that he died. I have no problem if somebody says he lived and just prayed from the place of the dead in the stomach of a fish. But Jonah has gone through that whole thing. He was released from the fish onto a shore, which a lot of people think somehow, if you watch like VeggieTales and little kids shows, that like the fish just like swam up to shore, spit him out. Probably didn't work just that way. Probably was close enough to shore to see it, but he probably had to do some work to get there. Probably did not smell good. But Jonah has gone through all that, and you kind of think, okay, if God has done that for you, if God has blessed you so much to spare your life after your disobedience, surely you are ready just to be happy with whatever God tells you to do. Well, we know that Jonah goes to Nineveh, and you should read Jonah the whole book. It's only 4 chapters, it's not long. But he goes and he preaches, and it says that the whole town, the whole city, from the king to the lowest person, all were convicted and repented of their sin, and that they tore their clothes, and that they had a time of mourning. And so God relented from destroying Nineveh. And it says that Jonah was angry. You know, many times we face situations in our life where we forget how much God has given us and what He has done for us. And whenever something in our mind should be ours, we tend to rest more on bitterness than on God's blessing. And one thing that I would like is we are a church that's thriving in a time when we feel like we should get some things, that we look at what our attitudes are and that we remember that we are blessed beyond measure because of Jesus Christ. No matter what comes our way, no matter what promotion comes or does not come, whatever may happen, maybe a friend gets a better deal on a home that you were looking at. Maybe it's that somebody seems to always have that one up. You know those people? They just got it every time you, man, this just happened. Isn't that great? And they go, oh, well, listen to what happened to me yesterday. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, that was fun. Glad we could do that. But you know, we face bitterness every day, and it's a choice of, are we going to be bitter or are we going to be blessed? Chapter 4, it says that after God relented from disaster, Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, it says this about Jonah. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He was angry that God was gracious. He was angry that God chose his way and not Jonah's way. He was angry that God didn't kill thousands and thousands of people. And he prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, is this not what I said to you when I was still in my country? Basically, I told you that you were compassionate, God, and that you would forgive anyone who sought your forgiveness. And because of that, I'm angry. That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore, Lord, please take my life from me. You know, a lot of us read this and we go, how can he say that? He's talking about a gracious God. He's talking about a loving God. He's talking about this great God who does everything for him and for other people. And he's saying, because you are that person, take my life. Well, when we deal with brokenness, the first thing we got to understand is that it breaks bonds. Bitterness breaks bonds with people. Whenever something happens and we tend to put that person out there and say, well, I'm just upset with that person because of what happened for them, it didn't happen for me. Or maybe it was justified. Maybe your bitterness has a problem at the beginning where the person did something to you that you feel like you were wronged. That's what Jonah was really upset about. The people of Nineveh tormented the Israelite people for decades. In centuries. And in his heart, he couldn't get past that feeling of anger toward them. A lot of times I'm reminded of King Saul and David. Because if you remember that story, David served the king faithfully. But as he would come back from killing Goliath, Saul would roll in and they would say, Saul has killed his thousands, Saul has killed his thousands. But whenever David rolled through the gate, they would say, but David has killed his 10,000s. David did it all in the name of King Saul and for the Lord, and not for himself, he did it for his country. But Saul felt that anger burning within. And if you remember, David would become his son-in-law. He would marry Saul's daughter, and Saul would try to kill his own son-in-law for the rest of his life. Because of a feeling of bitterness about this should have been me and not him. Bitterness breaks bonds. Whenever we see people who are bitter, we tend to try to avoid them. Because bitterness is part of being hurt. And there's one thing that I know about hurt people is that hurt people hurt people. Listen to me, friend, if you're walking around and you're hurt, and maybe you think you have every justifiable reason to be hurt and to be bitter, if you're walking around in bitterness and hurt, I promise you, somewhere in your life, you're hurting someone else. Because hurt people hurt people. You can't avoid it. Husbands, whenever You're struggling at work and that bitterness happens. You may not be talking to your coworker, but your wife may be getting the brunt of what's happening at work. Because hurt people hurt people. Wife, you may not be telling your friend how jealous or bitter you are because of something they have, but maybe when your husband comes home, he's getting the brunt. Maybe that frustration in your marriage because you're bitter with one another is being poured out on your children. Or maybe your children are causing the commotion and it's going out on your friends. And every time they're around you, you're offloading and dumping. And there's a time for that, but there's also a time to say, you know what? God's in control. But bitter people tend to be broken from one another. It breaks bonds between them. You find yourself alone. You find yourself seeking someone that will listen to your hurt and your pain. What I love is that we have someone who has listened to our hurt and our pain. We have a God who sent His only Son to die for us, to bear that pain, to let us understand that we have everything we need through the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the Lord that indwells us now, that we don't have to live in bitterness, and no matter what turn life takes, it does not matter because Jesus is Lord of all. You see, that's what bitterness doesn't focus on, because whenever we are bitter, it breaks the bonds between people. But not only does it break the bonds, it brings burdens. Bitterness brings burdens, because at that point, when we become bitter about something, when we're not chosen for that office that was so important in our life, many times we begin to try to make up for what we are missing out on. And we try to reach too far, we try to grasp, we try to take, and I'm not saying power in the sense of being the stronger, but we tend to kind of go around things so we could have more of what we want. And we try to take control of the situation. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I'm in charge of a situation, it usually doesn't turn out well. Because my focus isn't rested on who God is, it's focused on what I want. Jonah finds himself in this same situation. As he says, hey, just take my life because you're good and gracious. His own life had become a burden to him because he couldn't understand why God didn't do what he wanted. He didn't understand why it would turn out this way. And so he has a problem with just living. And what's amazing is that Jonah doesn't, he's the prime example of who I am whenever I'm upset. And if you read the story, you can identify with Jonah. I promise you, you can. Because it says he goes out and he looks over at the end of chapter, as you get into chapter 4, and he sits up on a hill that overlooks Nineveh. Went out to the city and sat east of the city, this is verse 5, and made a little booth for himself there. Basically, he kind of made a little canopy for himself, and he sat under it in the shade till he should see what was to become of the city. So basically, he's upset with God that God's not to destroy the city, but he's also going to just watch and see if God will just do what he thinks should be done. Well, God doesn't. Now, Lord God appointed a plant. So this is how God teaches. He makes a vine grow over Jonah's head to keep the shade on him so he wouldn't get sunburnt and all that kind of stuff. Apparently, he left his tanning oil and SPF 50 at home. And so Jonah is sitting underneath this vine, and he kind of finds favor in the vine. He's like, see, look, I'm doing the right thing. This vine's here in... Apparently, this wasn't a vine that was already big enough. It was one that God appointed to cover him with shade. It was almost like it grew right then. And it says, but dawn came the next day, and God appointed a worm. I love God because he kind of gets at you a little bit whenever he needs to. He says, he appointed a worm to attack the plant, so it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And again he said, it is better for me to die than to live. You see, that's what bitterness does. It brings burdens. It brings pain. And it's not something on other people. Yes, we project it on other people and hurt people. But the inner turmoil that we deal with becomes so great that he's even saying it's better to die than to live. And whenever he gets there, God says, why are you angry with this plant? Why are you so angry? Why are you bitter with that? Because you didn't plant it. You didn't make it grow. You didn't water it. It came and provided you a service. And the Lord said to him, and this is getting toward the end of the chapter, in verse 10, it says, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came in the night and perished in the night. Basically, God saying, hey, what happens in life is up to me, and how you view it is up to you. Many times we're not in control of things. Many times we don't have an idea of what we should do, but God has a plan for your life. Will you follow His plan and not become bitter? And God says, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also as much cattle? You see, God cares for everyone. And that's when people say, oh, well, there's a, you know, this is one of my strongest arguments with God has chosen some and hates some. You know, there's a teaching that says that, right? That He created some that they have no chance to go to heaven. He created them as an object of wrath, and eventually they will just go to hell because that's how He created them. I tend to disagree with that based not only on this scripture, there's plenty more, but this is a very interesting statement by God. Why would I not pity more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left? Basically saying they don't know between good and wrong, between good and evil. They don't understand between right and wrong. And here's our chance. And not only does He care for people, He cares for His creation. He says, why wouldn't I care for even the cattle that live there that would be destroyed? You see, God understands our bitterness because He understands what it does to us. It breaks bonds between people. It brings burdens into our lives. And then also it births brokenness. When someone is broken, this is one of those moments that you see, as a minister, you see things happen in people's lives that you can't explain, they can't explain, but you see people truly broken, sometimes because of a loss, sometimes because of a choice, sometimes because of somebody else's choice in their family. There's always something that brings about the brokenness, but here's what one thing brokenness, and I'm not talking about good brokenness before God, I'm talking when your spirit is broken. They don't have a thought process that's very consistent. You may have experienced a time in your life like that, where because of the brokenness in your heart, things just don't seem to make sense. And the more you think about things, it doesn't make sense to you, and you get off base. Here is a man who is a servant of God. He is to minister to those around them, and he would rather die than see God save people. How backwards is Jonah at this moment? But you know what's amazing is that God didn't leave us in our brokenness. You see, when Adam sinned, the bond between God and man was broken. And all of a sudden, everybody in this room and everybody who ever lived before us and everybody who will ever live after us, they don't know their right from their left. You see, we are broken from that bond. And we are burdened with our own sin. And we try to find every way to fix the problem that we can. And we are broken. Bitterness leads to brokenness. It doesn't matter where we start in the Bible. If you get to Cain and Abel, bitterness between brothers would bring about the first murder. You get a little further and you see Noah's family after the flood, and bitterness brings brokenness. When you get to Abraham, and he comes out, and Sarah and Hagar, and they have the whole situation between his true wife, who God had said, I will bless you and make a nation from you, and they don't trust God's plan. They become bitter. They offer Hagar, the maidservant, to Abraham, and she has a child. And what happens? There's bitterness and brokenness, and Sarah begins to laugh at God and is even called out on it because God would ask, why did you laugh? And she say, you didn't. And He goes, yes, you did. How many of you ever had that problem before in your life where God just pointed out something to you? You see, because brokenness leads us to a place, bitterness leads us to a place where what God says doesn't matter, and we get so askew with our view that we are not viewing who God is. We just see what we want. And you can keep reading, as I said. You get to Moses, and he becomes even bitter with the people. And Moses was a great leader. In fact, Deuteronomy at the very end says that there has never been and never will be another prophet that saw the face of God like Moses. You know, and I'm not one to say that there's important people, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to bow before Jesus, and I know that, but I want to meet Moses. Because he did what no man on earth has been able to do before him and since, is that he spoke with God face to face. What a cool testimony. But Moses would get bitter with the people and strike a rock, and because of that, his brokenness didn't allow him to enter God's land of rest. And then you get into Saul, you get into Samson, you get into all these people. Here's what I want everybody in this room to understand. This is something I dealt with all week, is that we are all bitter at some point in life. And in this room today, there's probably somebody that's pretty bitter. Life is not fair. Life does not always go the way that we want to, and we struggle with bitterness, and it's something that's wrong. But I want us to take the path of hopefully what Joseph Barsabbas Justice did. We never hear another word about him. I'm pretty sure if he would have thrown a tantrum, Luke would have said something about it right here. I hope that he was a faithful servant, and I hope that we do not take the path of Jonah, where whenever we see life doesn't make sense and we're not understanding what God's doing, that we don't complain about how good God is and forget what he's done for us. But we would be a light everywhere that says, I have been blessed beyond measure by the blood of Jesus Christ. And even when things aren't going my way, we can stand like Job did and say, the Lord gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, because bitterness does not lead us to blessing. Bitterness leads us to brokenness. And brother and sister, there is not a way out of bitterness except for relying on Jesus Christ. And understanding that he has delivered us from the worst possible situation. A few weeks ago, I posted on Facebook just I post hopefully encouraging things on Facebook. I try my best to be the most encouraging person. I don't attack people on Facebook. A lot of times people attack me. And if you proclaim God's truth, I will tell you something. If you proclaim his truth and love, people are still going to come against you no matter where you do it. If you do it in your office, they're going to speak against you. If you do it on Facebook, they're going to speak against you. If you live your life according to God's plan, people are going to question why you do it and say that you're old-fashioned. There's always someone that's going to come up against God's plan. And somebody said, we all deserve to be happy. And my response is, no, we all deserve hell. But thankfully, we have a God who loves us enough to send Jesus Christ. You see, we can't be bitter if we understand that. At the end of the day, that we put our head down at night and we can pray to God and say, thank you that even though today was terrible, I was terrible, everything about today was terrible, blessed be the name of the Lord, you sent Jesus. And I thank you for that. If we don't rest in that, I promise you there are going to be days that you end in bitterness. The Bible tells us, do not let the sun go down on your anger, but go to one another and set it straight before the day's done. James chapter 1, this is where we end. It says, know this, my brothers, this is verse 19, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know what that verse means? Whenever problems come up and we're about to get angry and just tell somebody off, we need to stop and say, okay, am I falling into bitterness? I need to think through this. Because what I'm about to do is going to hurt someone, because if I'm hurt, I'm probably going to hurt someone else. You know what I'm thankful for is that I have a God that understands that. That he would give us warnings, and not only that, that when we were in our most desperate need, broken, dead in our own sins and our own problems, that Christ sent Jesus Christ for us. And in our brokenness, he chose to bless us. And he's asking you this morning, are you willing to lay down your bitterness and remember the blessing that he's given you? And if nothing more, if you've never chosen that blessing, if you have never said, I have walked this earth and I have tried to find solutions and I get more angry and more angry, I get more frustrated and discouraged every day it goes by, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever given your life to Christ? Have you ever let Him, as Carrie says, take the wheel? Have you let Him have control and understood, whenever I have Jesus, I have everything?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week.